serve it up till the whiskey run dry. You take your sugar and take your sweets. Leave you blinded on a one-way street.
Tie your hair. And welcome, everybody, to the Lunacy Podcast. My name is Tony. I'm here with Dave and Connor. Dave Stevens, Connor Ennis. I am Tony Pervenanzi. David Sterling is once again missing from the podcast because he had to have beach time yesterday during the Loons game against Philadelphia. So he didn't watch the he didn't watch it, and his in-laws are in town. So
is that how he phrased it? He had to have beach time? Like he just was forced into beach time?
Well, technically, you know, what I was going to tell him, but I didn't want to be an ass about it, is that you got this thing called a cell phone, right? And you have Apple TV on your cell phone, and you can watch a game wherever the fuck you're located, which I've done at bonfires in other places. So he could have watched the game.
I wonder if he didn't know something we didn't know. You know, maybe he just had a bad feeling about this this game against the Union, Philadelphia Union, and decided, you know what, I'm just going to go out to the beach instead. Maybe he knew.
Maybe doing a little foreshadowing there?
I might have been.
Doing a little foreshadowing?
I might be.
People listening to this podcast might not know what happened during this game.
You think so?
I don't know.
I'd be impressed if people listen to this podcast and don't know.
They're all just waiting for Tony's funny story at the end. That's all.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
And the beer talk, of course, I suppose.
Beer talk, sure.
You know, I just assumed that, you know, we might have a significant percentage of our audience, I assume, maybe fast forwards through the beer talk, fast forwards through the funny story, and they just want to listen to the Loons talk. I always think that. So
maybe.
Never know.
Before we get too far into this podcast, guys, usually I talk about Grand Holler at the end of the podcast, thanking them for having our intro music and our outro music. But I wanted to put this out there right now because they have a new single releasing on April 19th called Riverboat Queen. So if you follow them on Facebook, they're not on Twitter, but look up Grand Holler, the band. You'll see they have a website where you can listen to their music on it. I also wanted to mention that they have a lot of stuff going on in April, guys. They're going to be at Wusso's for their 1 week live CD release on the 19th, the same day they released that single. They'll be at the Ore House in Gilbert on April 26th. They'll be at the Gopher Bar in Duluth on April 27th. And they'll be at the Duluth Homegrown Music Festival at the Caddy Shack on April 29th. So if anybody's ever been up to Duluth for the Homegrown Music Festival, I don't know if any of our listeners have. I heard it's a really good time. They have a bunch of local bands playing at a bunch of bars and clubs across Duluth on numerous nights. So it's always a good time up there. So just want to get that out of the way so people who are listening, who don't usually wait till the end, can hear what I'm saying about Grand Holler. So, guys, it's Easter today. Easter Bunny did not come to my house. Probably because I have a cat now. Easter Bunny's cats don't get along. Connor, you're like probably the big Easter person to talk to here because you got the young kid. So did Austin look for some eggs or anything? Did he do that?
The Easter Bunny is making a special trip to see Austin a couple weeks from now, actually.
Mm.
So nothing this week. On Saturday we went to an art show at the Galleria that showed a bunch of fish that Austin really enjoyed. He saw a big octopus and big crab and a couple fish, a couple jellyfish. He had the time of his life there. No Easter though, but we've got a big Easter egg hunt coming up in a couple weeks. So really, really excited for that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just as well. Maybe. I mean, the weather was good, but I suppose in a couple of weeks, the weather could be even better. So as far as Easter egg hunts are concerned, maybe that'll work out even really well.
Yeah. Knowing the winter we've had here, it could be 85 in a couple of weeks. So
that's
the way it works. Dave, I'm sure you went down to Action Valley, down to Apple Valley there to see your folks, huh?
Yeah, I did. In fact, I just got back about an hour ago. And I stopped over at my parents' house for a little while. There are some new digs down there, but still in Apple Valley. And yeah, then actually ended up going over to my sister's place to celebrate Easter with her family and my parents, which is also in Apple Valley, so close by. Yeah, that was good. Had nice prime rib. Thanks. Shout out to my brother-in-law Nick for cooking that. And we kept it traditional as well. We had the ham, of course. But
Yeah,
yeah,
of
a
course.
great meal. Good times with family today. So.
My wife worked today. It was her weekend work, so she was delivering babies on Easter. I ended up going to my parents' house, and my parents always put together a spread, traditional, the ham and everything else. And usually my mom's brother and sister show up with their families. I was lucky enough to have my grandma and my dad's sister, my aunt, down from up north. We haven't seen them in almost a year, so it's good to see them. And of course, all my little cousins running around. I'm the oldest cousin on my mom's side. And I have cousins on my mom's side who are, let's see. Well, yeah, I mean, technically I'm younger than that. They're like the 5 and 6, so I've got a whole spread here. But yeah, it was nice. My mom and dad put out Easter eggs for the kids, and they go find them and all that stuff. And of course, my kids are a little older, so Nora wants to go find eggs. Lauren's like, I don't really want to do this. She's 16, whatever. So
Yeah.
we have a good time there. Yeah, it was good Easter. And now, of course, we're drinking on Easter night. Talking about the loons. Unfortunately, when you don't need a drink. If you are listening to this podcast at home or where you can have adult beverages, feel free to crack one before we get into the game because, it'll help a little bit.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little bit,
And
a little
if
bit.
you're listening to this on your drive into work, maybe wait until the evening, but
Well, yeah, or wait till you get to work, go to your bottom drawer where you got the with the whiskeys at, then maybe have a little punch, pull that. It's totally fine. What else is going on? Not much. We had our big snowstorm. That's gone. And spring is right on the corner, guys. There's only 2 more months left of school, which is crazy. Connor, you'll appreciate that when you become, a parent of school age kids.
Oh, for
You might
sure.
appreciate
Yeah.
you'll appreciate it, but then you won't, because then summertime, and then they've got nothing going on, and they're like, I'm bored. I don't got nothing to do.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah. I have, in the summer, we send Austin to daycare still during the day. So right now we're just working on appreciating that. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll get into it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about beers, guys, because of course we're drinking. I'll start first because I got a beer that we've had on this podcast a lot, and I'm just gonna say it. It's because Dave and I, this place is kind of our new place to go for happy hour when Dave's in town. It is heavy rotation in Brooklyn Park. It is kind of convenient for both of us because it's on Dave's way home and it's on my way home. So it's kind of the intersection of our ways home. So, and they're nice. I mean, it's great. It's a good place. They got great beers, always rotating, always got shit going on. Dave and I were there. Was it Thursday afternoon,
Yeah,
Dave?
Thursday for the Twins,
Twins home opener.
yeah, not the home
Not home
opener,
opener,
but
home
just
opener,
the
but
opener.
the
But
opener. Along with a couple other people, they had free hot dogs. We got to see the Royce Lewis injury, which was great. I really enjoy seeing one of our best young players get injured on opening day.
yeah, it was a shame. I mean, it was, right up in a build up, prior to, I think, getting the first run on the board. And but so it was an exciting moment until you see him limping around second base, and it's like,
What
oh
was great?
boy.
What really sucked is Royce Lewis hit a home run, Dave. Remember?
Oh yeah,
He
that's right.
cranked out
That's
a
right.
home
He
run.
let off the score, and the first home run of the
Yeah.
year, first run of the year, everything. That
And you're
was earlier in the game.
like, there you go. Right there. And he pulls up lame. Great. So I'm having a thing they bring back constantly. I think it's their one of their award winners. It is their Farmer Frank's Cream Ale. And it is fantastic. I think I've had it on the podcast before. Just good beers all around. You can't go wrong at heavy rotation. Their beers are excellent. Dave and I have gotten up there a couple times for Funked Up Fridays where they try new releases, and those have always been a hit. I don't think I've had a bad one yet. So yeah, get up to heavy rotation, hang out, and they have their also have their second anniversary weekend coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Connor, even though we're on the podcast right now, do you have any plans Friday afternoon?
This Friday afternoon?
Yeah.
Let's see. You know, my schedule has been quite quite busy ever since.
Oh, we understand.
Yeah. But no, it looks like yeah, it looks like there's I got nothing except for an appointment in the late afternoon, but yeah. No, it's Friday is completely free.
Well, wow. Dave and I, maybe you should come up to heavy rotation with Dave and I. We're going to go there for the second anniversary deal and hang out for a little bit and enjoy the festivities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that sounds like a plan.
It's anybody listening who hasn't checked out heavy rotation, or even if you have, it's it looks like the weather is going to be turning. Like we mentioned, is going to be turning for the better here starting this weekend. Probably a nice Friday afternoon, Friday evening to be out there. So.
Yeah, it should be fun. Dave and I were there, of course, for their opening, that opening weekend. We were there for that, which was fantastic. And
it was two years ago. Wow.
Great place. I hope they never go away. Seriously. But enough about heavy rotation. Dave, what are you drinking tonight?
Yeah, I got another one of my favorite breweries. I got a beer from Prize Brewing in right on the river there off the Mississippi in Minneapolis. And I kind of went with, I don't know, I was just kind of looking for something here kind of last minute. And I ended up going with their Northern Tropic. It's a fruited smoothie sour, part of their Cartographer collection, which, and apparently I didn't know this at the time, but apparently they started doing their Cartographer collection back in 2021. And this was the first one that they did. It's a whole series of beer. I think if you're familiar with the cans, they kind of have a little map of maybe the flavors or the, you know, bitter hoppiness, you know, and whatever other flavors they have in the beer. I think that's part of it, but this is, yeah, apparently they brought it back. I don't think it's available year round every year, but it's certainly, I think it was one of their more popular ones back in 2021 when they first brought it out. So at least for the time being, it's back available in liquor stores. Not sure if it's available in a tap room right now, but I also kind of thought it was a good Easter beer. You listening can't see it, but it's got a nice, you know, reddish hue to it. Of course, a fruited smoothie sour, you might expect that, but yeah, so it kind of almost has an Easter egg color to it. So yeah, I figured it'd be a festive beer, and it is one of those beers. I don't have them too often. I used to get them more often, but you know, it's when they say it's sour, it's definitely very tart. It's got a very tart tart flavor to it, more so than even sweet. It's got a sweet taste as you'd expect, but it's not overpoweringly sweet. And it's a nice sipper. That's why, like, it's a good Sunday evening beer, I guess, because it's not something you're going to slam. Even if you did, it's only 6.2% alcohol, so it's not overwhelmingly strong. But just because of that sour characteristic, it just naturally turns into kind of a sipping beer, something you enjoy one, maybe two of, and then probably call it good, at least with regards to these beers. But yeah, never disappointing from Prize. And a lot like Heavy Rotation, it's a brewery that I really, really love to go. You can't beat the location, right across the street from the Mississippi, and great room, really good food as well. Their pizza is awesome. So,
nice. Good deal, Dave. Good day, Connor. What about you?
I made a quick stop at Hy-Vee Liquor today, just down the street from street from me, and found that I had stepped in there with a grand total, or no, I'm sorry, it was Cub Liquor, not Hy-Vee Liquor. But I found that I had a grand total of 3 minutes to pick out a beer today. So,
5:57.
It was like 3:57. They were closing at 4. I guess it was for Easter or something.
Like, get the fuck out!
Yeah, they're just like our machines are shutting down at 4. I can't do anything past that point. The computers are shutting down no matter what. So I just ran in, grabbed one, and ran out, and ended up grabbing an India Pale Ale. I believe it's an American IPA from Lupulin. This one's called Sexy Hops. And the blurb on this reads as follows. Sexy Hops is back. This series of one-off IPAs showcases some of today's hottest and most unique hops. This release was brewed with Brian and Adam's personal favorite, Citra, along with an exciting new hop, Nectaron. Evoking the unmistakable aromas of the tropics, Nectaron captures the senses and tantalizes the taste buds with crafted notes of pineapple, passion fruit, peach, and grapefruit. Sexy hops with a sexy blurb right there. That was pretty awesome.
There you go. Yeah.
But it's a good beer. It's a little bit more on the juicy side, but I personally really like it, and I think American IPAs in general are a good category of IPAs. So I'll usually drink an American, but it's good. It's only 7. Well, it's only 7.6 alcohol volume. The IBU is 45, and you've got a little bit of cool artwork on the front here too. I wonder if you can see it. Can you see that?
No,
oh no. There we go.
There we go. There we go. Sexy hops.
Yeah.
There it is. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Luke Lynn always with the crazy good artwork.
They're Those just the are best, great. Aren't they? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Well, fantastic, Connor. Before we get out of the beers, I wanted to mention I thought about having the podcast, but I decided no, I'd drink it yesterday. Because I wasn't drinking yesterday during the game. And after the game, I needed to, you know, calm down a little bit. And I opened up my only can of Trail Magic by Minneapolis Cider Company. It is a cannabis-infused beverage, 5 milligrams of THC. It is an iced tea and lemonade, so it's basically an Arnie Palmer. It tastes like an Arnie Palmer. It's fantastic. I didn't feel anything off the 5 milligrams of THC. And I did feel sleepy after I had it. You know, I drank it over the course of an hour and I felt sleepy after that, which I've heard some people do feel sleepy. Talking to my aunt today, who's a little bit older than I am, and she's had some THC drinks. She said that you gotta like drink, like you start slow, but if you drink 10 milligrams, usually that's when you feel, you know, good. So next time maybe I'll up my game to a 10 milligram can and see what happens. But overall, it was a good tasting drink. I think it had, you know, 15 grams of sugar in it and it comes in at 60 calories, so not bad. Yeah, and one of these days maybe I'll have one on the podcast from one of our breweries that does THC drinks and see what happens. But yeah, it's interesting, to say the least. And we'll be seeing, you guys know this, we'll be seeing a lot more of them because the marijuana is now legal in Minnesota. So I think a lot of breweries will be doing that. And then there's a new, they're trying to regulate, you know, they're still going through the regulatory process. I heard yesterday or Friday that they're going to try to get something passed where they would, these breweries be able to serve these THC drinks on tap. Right now, you can only buy them from the brewery. You can't get them, or buy them from the liquor store. You can't get them on tap. They want to make a law that says, or a rule that says, you can actually buy these on tap at a brewery. So we'll see how that goes. And we'll see if that extends to bars and restaurants. I don't know if that'll happen. I'm sure the bars would be like, yeah, dude, get some THC drinks. People get the munchies and they'll want to eat all of our appetizers and shit. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. It's a whole new world for Minnesota in the marijuana industry. So, have you guys, either of you, tried any THC drinks?
I tried a THC cider a couple years ago, and you know, you really couldn't tell the difference between the two. But this was of course a cider, so not the same thing as beer, but it was good. It was kind of it was from Minneapolis Cider Company, and it was a good cider. You know, I had no complaints about it, and just couldn't tell the difference. So it was awesome.
Now, Dave, yeah, you've had gummies before.
Yeah, I have, and don't need to get in detail, but those haven't treated me so great either. I think it's finding the right balance. Actually, you know, when we were in Seattle quite a few years ago now, that I think that was great. I think I had probably the perfect amount, but then I've tried them once more since then, a couple years ago in Vegas, and didn't go as well, but
we won't tell that story, Dave. We won't tell that story
another time. But I have actually. It's funny that you bring up the THC drinks because you know I think what I had and I should know, but I don't. The strength of the gummies that I had, I don't even know, and that's part of the problem, obviously. But I did try about I think it was last November. I went over to Top 10 Liquors and got a 4-pack of 10 milligram THC drinks, and they were like the spark the hard not I shouldn't say hard seltzer they were just seltzer water based flavored seltzer water with THC and I bought the 4-pack back in November and I actually just finished the last one, so they were sitting in my fridge for a long time. I had one back in November and I think I fell asleep shortly thereafter, and but yeah. I had one just a few weeks ago now, a couple weeks ago now actually, and quite frankly I really enjoyed it. It was you know, it I didn't have this. I didn't fall asleep right away. I actually felt pretty relaxed, pretty comfortable. And like you said, yeah, I think it took, you know, I drank it 16 ounce can. I think and it was 10 milligrams. And I drank it within probably a half hour. And I'd say within an hour or maybe even less, I could tell things were feeling a little different, but not overwhelmingly. So it was very comfortable, very relaxed. So I think, you know, that might be, you know, not a bad option really for, you know, depending on what you got going on, because I wasn't inebriated. I wasn't paralyzed on the couch. It just was just fairly comfortable, fairly relaxed. Just, I could tell, you know, things I was, you know.
You weren't saying the word condition a lot.
No, I wasn't high. I wasn't high, but it was a good balance, honestly, between, you know, zero, you know, between, you know, your average week, you know, baseline and being too high or, you know, literally paralyzed or just goofy. It was just a good balance. So I think that 5-10 milligram dose that you can get in those cans, I think that would be plenty for me. And yeah, I might have to give it a try again because it was pretty nice. Pretty nice.
Now, Dave and I have been high together a couple times back in our 20s, before the whole, you know, that revolution of marijuana, you know, all the THC and the CBDs and all that stuff. And yeah, this is, you know, I think THC drinks are interesting. I think it'd be really interesting. Having like looked at marijuana strands for years now, and I don't do that stuff anymore, but I'm interested like how they're coming up with these combos of the amount of THC and the CBD to make a nice calm high or this high or this high. I'm interested to see if we start seeing some drinks that have a mixture of both of those things in them to give you certain highs like smoking does, if they can do that. I've heard that THC, how they do it with the making it into a drink makes the process a lot, of course, a lot different than when you're smoking it. So you get a different type of feeling from it. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it and all the combos they come up with. And yeah, it's a new frontier. So
it is. Yeah.
Let's move on from nice things to bad things, guys. Let's move on to the Loons game yesterday. We have to talk about it. You know, it's a sad thing to talk about, but we do. We were in Philly yesterday, guys. It was, well, let's
not
talk
us
about...
For those who are listening, not us personally.
No, we weren't there.
The Loons were there. The Loons were in Philly. Yeah.
I do know.
Although I'm
that,
not sure about Dave. Dave, you travel a lot. So were you in Philly yesterday?
I was on my couch yesterday watching the game. I was not in Philadelphia. So.
I do know that.
Where it's in? It's technically in. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. What's the name of this city that? Chester,
right
Chester,
outside
Pennsylvania.
Chesterfield.
Chesterfield.
I do know that one half of Gleeman and the Geek, John Bonus, who's on KFan a lot, talking about the Minnesota Twins. Is on the Twins Daily website and whatever. He was there yesterday at the Loons game. Yeah. And so I was like interested to see that. And he was there for, his in-laws lived there and they were there for Easter weekend and they went to a Loons game, which is fantastic. Hats off to John Bonus. But there was one glaring omission, guys, from our roster yesterday, and that was one Emmanuel Reynoso. We talked about it last, Dave and I talked about it last week. He was getting his green card on the bye week. Obviously, he's still trying to get his green card. So again, it's funny how the last two seasons we missed out on Reynoso for a good portion of the first part of the season. It's interesting. You know, last year it was something different. This year it's injury and then other stuff and then whatever.
Now
But
the green
yeah.
card, yeah.
He's played what, a total of, you know, through what, five matches now? Six? Five, six matches?
He may
Five.
have played 45
20
minutes,
minutes?
maybe.
Five matches. Yeah, I
45.
think it's 45. It was the second half of the, you know, the last game against LAFC, I
I don't
believe.
know. Yeah, I don't know how many minutes went into stoppage time last week, but yeah, it's like 40, 45 minutes, I would say, right around there.
Yeah, so and it's unfortunate, obviously, because this is now becoming a recurring theme with Reynoso. Unfortunately, yeah, it's only like so you can't, injuries are unpredictable. Green card a little bit less. So again, we were musing about this, not, you know, last episode. It's like, could they have timed this better? Or, you know, there might be, you know, it might have been required that he was back to Argentina for these specific dates, depending on when he originally got his, you know, work permit or applied for the green card. And obviously they want to take care of it as quick as possible. But the timing is obviously poor. And he's not the only player and coach that, you know, we've had to deal with this for. So, and
So, of
or
course.
chief soccer officer. But it's actually, you know, I between Khaled Al-Amin and Ahmad and Ramsey, I mean,
Did you
it seems like
say
they're
Khaled El-Amin?
I might have, yeah, by accident. I thought I
You know who
collected
does
myself.
I'd be
I
shocked.
corrected myself, though.
Hold on. We're not going to say who that person is. If you're listening to this right now and if you're on Twitter, please reply to our podcast and tell us who Khaled Al-Amin is. Because I know who that is. Dave knows who that is. Connor has no idea who that is.
I've heard the name, but I know, and I think, yeah, I won't go into any more detail than that, but yeah.
That's like a blast from the past right there. Holy shit. But yeah, sorry, Dave.
It
Had to
won't
do
be
it.
the first mispronunciation I make,
Had
I'm
to do it.
sure, on this pod. So yeah, so
Had to do it.
sorry. Anyways, yeah, but I mean, it's their process, you know, and Ramsey as well. It just seems like their process went a lot, heck of a lot faster. Now, granted, we're talking about different countries, so it's you can't. I guess it's hard to compare.
Well, Ray is the only one we're missing last night, guys, because Mickey Tapias was out with an injury. Kelvin Arriaga was out with an injury.
Did you say Kelvin?
Anyone?
Irvin,
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I had to give you shit.
Kervin.
I had to give you shit. Hey, you gave me shit. I'm giving
I said
Kelvin
his first name
back.
wrong, not the whole name, Dave.
Okay. I just had to do. I had to jump on that. Sorry.
Getting feisty on Easter, Kelvin.
I know. Yeah, Kervin
Jesus.
Arriaga. He was out
Kervin.
due to injury. I think. Yeah, Tapias. You know, this is these. Maybe I was remember we were. I was saying just last week that I was. You know, maybe it was a good thing that the Loons had scheduled, or if they had a part in it. I thought that in the past they did have. They could decide. You know, when do they want these bye weeks? And I thought, hey, great idea. Schedule one for an international window. Well, maybe not. Maybe things didn't work out the best. If you're seeing all these, you know, and I must have jinxed him. I'm pretty sure I also said this is the healthiest this club has been in a long time. And here we come out of the bye week after
You
training.
fucked up.
And now Tapias, you know, it wasn't obvious to anyone that Tapias was injured until late last week. You know,
You fucked
apparently I
up.
think it's a thigh injury or him. I think it's a thigh injury is what they're calling it. And then yeah, Kervin Arriaga. Also, help me out here. You actually made the trip defender
Oh, you're talking about Valentin.
Valentin. Yeah, he actually
Valentin.
made the trip to Phil Chester, I should say, but he made the trip, but he was unavailable. So several guys that until I think last
So,
Thursday, I had no idea they were, you know, they had the injuries, and they probably picked him up in training over the bye week, unfortunately.
let's talk about the Tapias thing just for a minute, guys, because Connor, you thought Victor Erickson should start. We heard from Greeter saying that he wasn't match fit. So that's why he didn't start. So Padelford gets the start at center back.
And you know, I was going to wait until later in the show to bring up Victor Erickson, because we'll talk about him in a little bit for sure. Yeah, I did think that this was Victor Erickson's time to start. And obviously, you know, it's if he's not match fit, he's not match fit. And Padelford actually has some minutes on him. So yeah,
it's just an interesting one. I think most you know, predictions, you know, starting lineup predictions, and I didn't put one out on Twitter, but I would have probably had Victor Erickson, you know, as the assumed starter at center back. I didn't, you know, the question was, oh, are we going to see Joseph Rosales, who's coming back off a red card, or Padelford, who was pretty darn solid in his, you know, start against LAFC. So that was the question. I mean, I think I was leaning towards, you know, getting Rosales back in there, but have both. Hey, after Padelford's, you know, efforts in the last couple of games, I think, you know, he deserved a start. Mm-hmm. And obviously Rosales has been strong through the start of the season, other than, you know, I guess the action of him getting that red card. For the most part, he's been pretty good. So it was an interesting lineup to see. There's no doubt about it. I think the concern is with Erickson, and we'll talk about it later when he actually does come on as a sub, as you were alluding to, Connor, but he did. We haven't seen him with the ones yet this year. Obviously, match fitness. That was quoted. Eric Ramsey was quoted. You know, is that being one of the reasons? But you know, he did play just over a week ago against. Not that we watched the game, but he did play against, you know, St. Patrick's in the friendly. I think he played the whole game, actually. So is he, I mean, if he played, I think he played 90 minutes. And so is he not match fit after that? And so the concern is he not playing because of performance? Is it a coach's decision kind of thing? I think, you know, it might be that, and we'll see. He didn't do anything to help himself.
Guys. So the starting lineup was a little bit different on the back end. Rosales, Padelford get the starts there. But everybody else was pretty much the same. I mean, there was no like real, there was nothing that really shocked me in terms of who was out there.
With Reynoso, knowing that Reynoso was still in Argentina, the lineup wasn't a shock. The only questions you might ask is it must have came down to the coach's decision, but not, I mean, Franco Frankopane and Bongi Halongwe were both available for selection, and they didn't get a start. So that I think, depending on who you are, that might have been maybe a surprise to some, but the lineup, not surprising considering the way these matches have gone in the first month of the season. So,
and I think listener Blake put a stat out there today or maybe late last night, talking about Caden Clark and Sangbin about their chances and things and how their stats, like their advanced stats, don't really show they're doing anything on the pitch, which is interesting. And maybe Eric Ramsey and the coaching staff are seeing something different. I don't know. And maybe this is a change that happens next match. Remember now, Caden Clark, of course, is off up on the left side here. He's not playing, you know, center mid or anything like that. So taking some time. I saw some good things from Caden Clark yesterday that probably don't show up in the stat sheet. But and I saw some good things from Sangbin yesterday that don't show up in the stat sheet. So
I'm glad you brought that up. I think generally speaking, Sangbin has been pretty good this year. I think he has. I think actually you could maybe even say, because remember, he didn't play a whole lot last year. He certainly didn't start a whole lot last year. I think he's been part of the reason that the Loon squad are sitting on 10 points. He's had some flashes, Sangbin has. And Caden Clark, I think, is same with him. He's been good, but he's been more kind of up and down. He's had a couple good matches, in my opinion, and then a couple not so good where he just hasn't showed up. I think it's a good starting point for this match, because I think even in the first 5-10 minutes of this match, I mean, it's we need a little more bite from our wings in both Clark mm-hmm. and Sangbin, but especially what I'm referencing is Sangbin. I think in the fifth or sixth minute, his speed is so obvious. He's so dangerous, mm-hmm. Coming down that wing, but like his first cross was well over the crossbar. He had one a little mm-hmm. later in the game that basically went right to the defender. Another one, I think, that went right to the goalkeeper. And so if you look at his passing chart, basically he had a number of progressive passes down that right wing, but they all failed. You know, they weren't a threat at all. And I mean, I think that was a large, that not having that good solid wing play was a big part of the reason they didn't win, because they couldn't generate anything else. I shouldn't say that they couldn't generate much from the wing. I'll get into it later what I think this team did good, but I think that was a glaring problem from the game yesterday is the wings. There was no teeth. They couldn't maintain their press because they couldn't, put enough together. They couldn't generate a threat off both the left and right side for the most part.
Yeah. And I think we forget these are two young players here that still need to come up into their own, fit into the shoes that we want them to fit into. They're still trying to make that next step up. So, I mean, I'll give it to them, this game, guys, got off. I guess I was happy in the first 15 minutes. I mean, looked okay. The one thing I saw, though, was we were pressing and Philly was pressing.
Yeah.
So, Connor, let me ask you this. Have teams now, is Philly figuring out how to beat our press with pressing themselves? I mean, it's kind of what it looked like yesterday.
It's possible. I mean, it's possible that Jim Curtin just decided to put the Union out there with a strategy that might just work, because so far nothing has worked in mm-hmm. against Minnesota to keep them at bay. Minnesota has come out with four very good results to begin the year. They're obviously coming back from a bye week, but all you got to do is try. And when the Philadelphia press started working and it turned into a goal for them, then I think that Jim Curtin just employed the, hey, this is working, let's keep doing it. And Philadelphia has had good press for the last few years too. They've had good offense, and they've had a good they've just had a good overall team. They've obviously being in the MLS Cup a couple of years ago.
I
think that it's possible, and maybe that's a scary thing to think about, because when Minnesota is pressing and the counteraction for that is just another press from the other team, that's a scary thought.
Yeah. And just to add on to that, Connor, I agree. And I don't think it's necessarily a formula against this team, against the Loons, is to simply just press, out press. But essentially, that's what Philadelphia did. And there's a problem, if Philadelphia, Connor, like you mentioned, they've been in the conference finals, they've been in the MLS Cup recently, and they're a good team, and they are a pressing team. Not all the teams that Minnesota is going to play are going to be as aggressive or pressing as Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Union are and have been recently. And I think, unfortunately, what happened was just their press was much more effective than ours. I mean, both Minnesota and Philadelphia had counterattacks off the press. And I think it was, unfortunately, it was more of Minnesota's mistakes or errors. They couldn't combine enough passes together. They couldn't have a consistent press. And then every time that press failed, the back line had pushed way too far forward, and then that generated way too much space. And time after time after time, Philadelphia was just able to get behind the defense just countless times. There were so many, if they had one more runner to the back post, the Union could have been up big early, multiple earlier, but you know, fortunately, they got behind Minnesota's back line numerous times, and they just didn't have that maybe that final runner or that final attempt to put Philadelphia up big. And of course, the goal that we'll talk about here after the first 15 minutes was off of, you know, it was a corner kick, it was a set piece, but there was numerous other opportunities in the first 15, 20 minutes of this game for Philadelphia. They were the more threatening team. And I mentioned Sangbin, you know, Minnesota did have a few opportunities, but just couldn't do anything with it. There was no teeth in the attack. There was no danger. And then sure enough, they'd turn the ball over. The attack would fail. And before you knew it, Philadelphia was behind the line. And as a result of Minnesota pushing so far up the field.
Let's talk about this first goal from Philly, guys, because this was a corner kick by Wagner, as they call him. And this was not a, this was a straight like line drive type of corner kick. This was through the box, and numerous players on both teams missed this corner kick to get it over to where it got. You know?
So this corner kick never should have made it past the near post. It's just plain and simple that everybody, I mean, like you say, both teams had players that went for the ball and they just missed it. Mm-hmm. So it got very lucky to go to the far post. But in a perfect world, that corner doesn't get to the far post. It's cleared out to a throw in at that point. Yes. Or maybe even a counterattack. So it is bad preparation on defense from the Minnesota United back line, but that
or bad luck. I don't know. Wagner, he is a dangerous, dangerous, you know, set piece taker. There's no doubt about it.
It's good.
He is. And I'm wondering, because this, you know, if Philadelphia, I don't have the, I can pull it up in a second, but I mean, it feels like Philadelphia had a significant, significant amount of corners compared to, you know, well, it was only 8-3 total corners. It felt like Philadelphia had more. And we saw that kind of the short, low corner kick. They tried it on numerous occasions. And I don't know, maybe I just got jarred because of that first one. I think it was the first one where they scored. It looked so dangerous. It really did. And we're talking about formulas to defeat Minnesota. Maybe that's one of them. Those short aggressive corners. Usually you try and you know, see him get the ball up a little bit, put it on somebody's head. But that ball just looks so dangerous. But Connor, ultimately, I think you're right. It was fluky in the sense that it basically went through two defenders. It should, you know, if he kicked that ball 10 times, you know, it probably gets stopped at the near post, like you said, 9 times out of 10, most likely. So, yeah, I think it was unfortunate. You know, maybe they should have been better prepared. I don't know if they have enough film on Wagner to know that he might attempt that time and time again. But, yeah, it was a combination of a dangerous attempt by Wagner and then I mean, I don't know how to – it's hard – it's hard for me to even watch – even if I watch the replay a million times, it's hard for me to say, well – you know, that was poor defensive effort there, or was it just a fluke? I don't know.
It got through, and that's it happens, right? We see this in soccer time and time again. Balls get through, and every team misses it, and that's what happens. So we're down a goal, guys, in Philly, which now is tough because we're on the road, of course. Soccer on the road, down by a goal. What can you do? But we have seen this team come back before. I mean, we've done it. Yeah. So we get, there's not really anything from the first half that strikes me. I mean, that was the handball in the first half.
I don't believe so.
No, I don't think so.
Second half? Was that second half?
Early
before...
in the, I think it was, early in the second half. Yeah.
Let's go to the second half. Then. So early.
Well,
in the second
now wait
half.
A minute. The one thing I will say in this, because I think maybe you could make the case that I think generally speaking, this game was fairly flat for the Loons. Obviously, look at the score line. of course, without scoring a goal, you can say it's very flat. However, to me, what jumped out if you could say there's any positives was Robin Lud's play and his link up with Timo Pukki. There was several occasions where Robin Lud, you know, And there was some nice buildup prior to even Lude being on the ball. But Lude had some tremendous, at least on three occasions, I think all in the first half, some tremendous through balls, through passes, put it right on the feet of Timu Pukki. Now, for the most part, it didn't turn into too much. Either the ball was just off or their timing was just off. But there was a couple. And the one thing I want to bring up, I think it was the 44th minute, where Robin Lude has just another beautiful pass to Timu Pukki. Yep. And Andre Blake makes a tremendous, I think, foot diving save. You know,
right.
That was the best opportunity of the game. Well, maybe not the best. We'll get into it in the second half. But it was certainly in the first half the best opportunity. And credit to Andre Blake for making a tremendous save. But I think you talking about highlights of the first half, for me, that was it. It was Robin Lude's play and connection with Timu Pukki. And I guess, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that they have a connection, but that was the biggest positive. And like I said earlier, the negative was the play of the wings, both of them. So,
well, yeah. And, you know, now that I'm looking back on now that I'm looking back at our text, actually, just to circle back really quick, it looks like the handball was in the first half.
Yeah, so that handball, let's quickly talk about the handball, because from the angle of the camera, you could go either way. Now, if we're talking, now remember, this is we forgot to mention this. The pro refs are back now, right? Yeah. So the ref lockout is over. So now we have pro refs back in there. I truly believe if the replacement refs were in there, that would have been a handball.
Agreed.
I'm serious. It would have been a handball.
Yeah.
But I think that the camera angles they had either didn't show it, because one angle we had from Apple TV was very like, it was the backhand and David's arms out. Yes, he did. Did it hit him on his hand or lower arm? We don't know. So maybe they have another angle that we can't see, but it was 50-50. And obviously they VR'd it and it came out that no handball. So
yeah, I think that was our chance.
Honestly, in my opinion, it's only because of the camera angle, though, because it's true. The camera angle doesn't give you a outright good view of what happens. So you can't overturn and you can't prove that there was a handball technically. But like, to me, it looks like the physics of it all. It just looks like it looks like the ball pops up and there's no other way that the ball deflects the way it does and doesn't hit his arm, to me. Okay.
And because his arm was out at, I guess, what you call an unnatural angle, it was. Yes, it's just it because, was. I mean, and I'm assuming it's the case that VAR didn't have any better replays than we saw on the broadcast. Because from the one we saw on the broadcast, I will admit, you can't technically see it hit his arm. It just, but I mean, biased opinion here. It certainly, I agree.
You know, I have a hard time believing that there was not a better camera angle than that. That. With all the cameras that are in that stadium taking a look at everything, how could you not? So there's on the other side of his body, there had to be at least one camera angle that was just looking at it.
Maybe that camera was sabotaged, Connor. We don't know.
Oh, it's great. Philly. MLS it's still Philly. Has it out for Minnesota.
No, it's Philly. It's Philly. I mean, come on. Yeah. People in Philly do crazy shit. Yeah. It's one play. If the replacement refs are there, I think it's called a handball, and a junk gets thrown at the refs by the Philadelphia fans, but it wasn't called a handball. So we have to move on.
Yeah, speaking of that, though, I did want to ask you. You know, it's in Chester. Chester's southwest of Philadelphia, but I have always wondered. I've never attended. I've been in Philadelphia, but I've never attended a sporting event in Philadelphia. And so we all know that the reputation that especially the Philadelphia Eagles fans have as being just nasty towards like opposing teams and
Phillies
and
fans too. Phillies.
I wonder if it would be the same at a
Flyers
at
fans. Union. I think it would be. I think they're throwing shit on the field. I think they're throwing stuff at you.
Most of those guys are Eagles fans, Flyers fans. Mm-hmm. Very few of them probably don't watch the Eagles during football season. So, I think so. I think that it's probably a little bit less likely to happen that some crazy shenanigans are going to happen at Subaru Park. But I think that I think you're right, Tony. I think that's it does happen. For sure.
Philly? No. They threw snowballs at Santa Claus at the Eagles game. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Jimmy Christmas. I mean, they threw full cans of beer at the Minnesota Vikings fans.
Yeah.
Full cans of beer. Full Dude, cans of beer.
When like the money. Super Bowl. Yeah.
Money.
The Super Bowl.
Throwing money.
When the Super Bowl was here in Minnesota, I remember there was a clip of a bunch of Eagles fans surrounding a Patriots fan, and they were all just pouring a bunch of beer all over this guy's head, basically drowning him in beer.
Yeah, happens. I mean,
yeah.
We know it. Sorry, Philadelphia people were listening. I don't think you do, but whatever. Yeah. Second half, guys. I don't think we really had too many opportunities, but the big thing was that Bongi comes in for Clark at the 60th minute. And then, of course, we get Tani coming in, 70th minute. Braun coming in, 70th minute. And then, crazy one was the Blake thing with the concussion.
Mm-hmm.
Because that took a lot of time. I know people were pissed off about it. Took a lot of time, but concussion protocol.
Yeah. And yeah. It first happened in the first half, if you remember, and there was four added minutes after the first mm-hmm. half. I thought there could have been more, but it's not shocking to see a lower number of added added time in the after the first half as the second. But then it happened again. So yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, especially when you're down as a fan, you know, watching the game. It's frustrating to see, but listen, knowing now, and I think we probably had a good idea that that's what it was, but especially knowing now that it was a concussion incident, you know, the league has to take that seriously. They aren't going to do anything differently. I don't want them to do anything differently for any player opposing or the loon. So knowing what we know now, I mean, that frustrating, yes, for sitting there watching the game, knowing that you need to score a goal to get back into it. But yeah, and to be fair, they did tack on 10 added minutes.
Which is the right thing.
They certainly account. Yeah, they certainly accounted for it, and you cannot scream time wasting, you know, for that type of incident. And you know, even if they were trying to waste time, they added 10 minutes, you know, after the 90 anyways. So I don't know. Maybe I mean I don't think that time, you know, due to Andre Blake, I don't think it negatively affected the team. The loons, that is. I mean, they could have used that time.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think, you know, it's especially when it comes to goalkeepers, you need to be a little bit more vigilant with concussion protocol, and especially and any injury in particular, actually, to goalkeepers. They're a very important position. So I think that, you know, that was handled very well by both the Philadelphia staff and Minnesota staff. I think that it was, you know, yes, it was a little frustrating that it took so long to get play starting, but it was all for a good reason. You know, you had to get Andre Blake off of there, and then on comes, I believe it was Oliver Semley, I believe his name was, who came back on.
Yeah, who's mm-hmm. played quite a bit, because the, you know, they had made a point of this during the broadcast that the Union have actually played, you know, thanks to the CONCACAF Champions Cup or whatever they're calling it now, Champions League is what they used to call it. The Philadelphia Union has actually played quite a few matches. And then Andre Blake was involved in the Nations League, and
right.
of course lost to USA in the semifinal. So
he will be involved in Copa America this summer as well, because Jamaica is one of six CONCACAF teams that will be in Copa America this year. So that'll be fun.
So
I do want, off. Yeah, just shout out, since you brought it up and you were just kind of running through some of the substitutions. And one thing, because I was, Tony, you pointed out that Blake had made some comments about both Caden Clark and Sangbin. But yeah, I will have to say that I even made a comment. I think, you know, when we were down 1-0 in the first half, I still was kind of expecting to see some, you know, magic. I think I pointed out Bongi Longway and or Tani Aluwase. But I will say that, quite frankly, for the majority of the second half, when he came in at the 60th minute, I didn't see a whole lot better from Bongi Longway. Now, that may have been a matter of opportunity or lack thereof, but
82nd minute, though. 82nd minute. That the offside goal, That would have put us 1-1. And he was, Tani was offsides.
He was.
Oh, he was.
It was the right call. Yeah.
We don't have to argue that. Yeah. I certainly was cheering real time watching the goal. I was about ready to send out a text message to you guys, you know, and I was certainly cheering because I thought, but, you know, as soon as you saw the replay, there, and it wasn't the, albeit it wasn't the best angled replay, but clearly, even from a bad angle, you could tell, you know, just you bend your mind a little bit, you could tell he was clearly offsides. Unfortunate, too. It wasn't, hey, we love Tani Aluase. He's had some, late magic for this club already, you know, and his goals and assists for this club. But dang it, because he didn't need to be offsides for that one. Now, he could have been better. He certainly could have been. There was no reason to be offsides at that moment. So that was frustrating to see. But totally. I'm not going to sit here and complain too much, but unfortunate because it should have been the tying goal and it could have been if it wasn't just slightly timed a little better.
And that sucked because 2 minutes later, we get Victor Eriksson coming in the 84th minute and Franco Frangipani coming in. And right after that happens, guys, Philadelphia puts this game away all because of a bad clearance by Victor Eriksson,
who, by the way, was our pick for the best newcomer for Minnesota this year.
And maybe he shouldn't have been, but we'll see. It's early, but I personally hadn't watched much of any of him coming into the season, so I guess, and I think it was maybe he was our pick because there aren't, quite frankly, there wasn't a lot of big names coming into this club. So
well, the funny thing is, so we see, you watch the video, and if you watched it yesterday, when he comes in, you see him talking to Padel Ford, like showing, hey, this is where you need to go. This is where I'm going to go.
What it was. Yeah.
And then the ball comes right to him, and he heads it backwards and sets off Philly on their run for another goal.
I'm assuming it was just, I think, pretty standard. I'm assuming it was what exactly the coaches told Victor Eriksson and saying, I'm assuming Victor Eriksson was going to slide into that other, center back spot with Boxall, pushing Padelford out to the fullback position. But it is uncanny how, it was basically the first touch. It was like the long pass. And it was just a comedy of errors, I think, unfortunately for Eriksson, because the header clearance he attempted went horribly wrong. I mean, that happens. We see that from all of our defenders. But then, unfortunately, I think he kind of just watched it. And then he got beaten in behind, that was the unfortunate part. Because, maybe he was stunned or frustrated by that failed clearance attempt. But I think he could have been better. Knowing you're a center back, you got to get back. You can't get beaten behind in that position. And unfortunately, you had two negatives against Eriksson happening in just a split second,
if you looked at his play going on for the last few minutes that he was on as well, probably for what is it like probably 15-20 minutes that he was on, he to me showed no sense of urgency on the field. I didn't think that he was moving very quickly when Minnesota was under attack. He showed no hurry to be able to get back and defend. So I think that, I'm hoping this was just a one-off bad game for Victor Eriksson, and I'm hoping that he can come back and wow us all. But, he only had 18 minutes to make a first impression, and with a new manager in Eric Ramsey, his stock just went down significantly on Minnesota United. So I think that when we get Mickey Tapias back from injury, he's going to be in for sure. But I think based on that performance alone, Victor Eriksson, he's going to go down the pecking order a little bit. I don't think we're going to see him for a few matches at least.
He's gone. Just kidding. Yeah. He's not gone. But
yeah, it's saying, interesting. Like, bam. Yeah. Thanks again to Blake. I mean, he had actually sent me his, he sent the Y Scout player chart earlier this season for Victor Erickson. And I mean, if you look at his numbers, you know, specifically like, you know, if you're looking at defensive duels or dangerous losses in his own third, I mean, he actually ranks pretty high, you know, in that, what is it, the Swedish league last year. So it's not like, it might be too early, you know, to pass judgment, but certainly, yeah, I'm just looking at his passing. His numbers look pretty good, but it's hard to sometimes look at charts and numbers and percentages and just have a strong opinion from a player. But we'll see. It's unfortunate because, yeah, you could not have made a worse first impression for the first club. But
it's terrible. I mean, I feel bad for the guy, but first free ball comes to your head and you knock it backwards. I mean,
or you knock it straight to the enemy there, you know?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we lose this game, guys. I mean, this is 2-0 loss. Dave, you're right. We look flat. We're still sitting in fourth place, the Western Conference. I mean,
they sank all the way from top of the table down to fourth. We do got to put it in perspective, because I think I said this, yes, they were flat, but they didn't get embarrassed. I would not call that embarrassed. In fact, we're talking about such a short sequence between, you know, Tani Aluwase being offsides and then that mistake by Victor Erickson. And that sequence alone, I mean, you had thought for a minute there, a second there, that the Loons had sure enough scored or tied the game up late, but that didn't happen and then went downhill. So it wasn't embarrassing. Philadelphia is a tough place to play and has been for several years, at least several years now. And so, I don't know. Yeah, they're still sitting 10 points. They still have 3 wins in 5 matches. First loss of the year. Took them basically a month to notch their first loss. So if we're going to put things in perspective, I think the general message, and quite frankly, it's kind of from what I saw from a lot of fans' reaction, maybe on Twitter or elsewhere, I think that's the attitude most fans have right now. We're not going to panic now, not after the first loss in 5 matches. So
there's no need to panic now. And, you know, a little bit more perspective too. Right now, Minnesota, they slide down to fourth, yes, based on goal difference, but it is a four-way tie basically for second place right now, based on points. 4 teams with 10 points, including Real Salt Lake, who
we got next week. So before we get into predictions, guys, I just want to mention that our history against Real Salt Lake is pretty decent. Yep. We have 5 wins, we have 7 draws, and we have 3 losses. So the funny thing is, I don't think we've beaten Real Salt Lake since 2022. So our last 3 games against them were a draw, and a Real Salt Lake victory. So am I excited about this game? Absolutely. I think we can come up with a victory. But let's go around the table and see what our predictions are. Dave, you go first. Predictions for RSL versus the Loons on Saturday.
All right. Well, this is a tough one, because, yeah, like Connor mentioned, they're sitting there right with Minnesota at 10 points. They've won 3 games already, just like the Loons have. And Philadelphia, I pulled up their game log just a little while. Let me look at it again. Yeah, they've had a pretty good-looking season so far. They had an impressive win. Oh, of course, it was a snow match against LAFC. So I don't take that for what it's worth. They followed that up with loss to Colorado and then looked pretty good against St. Louis. They've already played St. Louis twice. That's interesting. But who aren't great. But I'm going to go with optimism here. Let's see. How many goals have they scored? I'm trying to do it on the fly here. 10 goals for. Oh, that's pretty good. I'm going to go 3-2 Minnesota. And I think the biggest reason I'm predicting a win is just because we're coming back home to Allianz Field. And I think that's going to be enough for this team to get a victory. So.
Nice. A victory by the Loons. I will go next. I'm going to say it's going to be 2-0 Minnesota. I think we come back and we're pissed off about the fact that we sucked it up in Philly. And Ramsey has some new formations, maybe Ray starts next week. Maybe
If he's
we go
back.
back to our old or we'll go back to our old 4-3 what is it? No, 4-2-3-1.
4-2-3-1. That's
4-2-3-1, yes. Maybe go
that's
back to that.
interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. That's and it is it does make t it's tough to predict MLS matches all the time. Even tougher now because we don't know the status of Ray. Ray, is he going to be back? That's obviously big, could be big for this club, who need to find some goals. The other problem, I guess good news, bad news. Like we should have mentioned, specifically with Tapias, he's the biggest, injury concern. Obviously, then the dominoes that created in the lineup, at least against the Union. We'll see what happens next weekend. Tapias, I think basically Tapias and the other guys, Arriaga, Kervin Arriaga, and Zerick Valentin. So good news, bad news. The injuries are, I think what Eric Ramsey has said is it's gonna be a matter of weeks, not months. So take that for what you want. Good news, bad news is I keep saying that because that doesn't, if you say week to week or a matter of weeks, that doesn't mean that any of those guys will be back. Because obviously Tapias at this moment, along with Reyes, are kind of the biggest holes. So we'll see what happens.
Well, there you go. Connor, once you finish this up, predictions.
Okay. Well, Dave, I think your prediction of 3-2 is actually a pretty good one. I like that idea because Real Salt Lake have proven they can score against some good teams as well. They've beaten St. Louis 3-1. They've beaten LAFC 3-0. They've also proved that they can win on the road against Vancouver, but they've also lost at home against Colorado. So Real Salt Lake are a bit of a roller coaster ride, and we do have a game in hand on them. So I would say that we've had the better season right now. And since we're coming home, Real Salt Lake are right now riding a high of a 3-1 win over St. Louis. So I think that's a 3-2 Minnesota win is a pretty darn good way to go. I think I'm gonna go with Dave on this one. I
Awesome.
think a 3-2 win is gonna be in, and I think we're going to see some late magic, maybe not injury time magic, but some late magic from either Bongi or Tani. And it's going to be I'm going to be at that game as well, so
Right.
I'm really really excited. We're going to be in the Wonderwall
Yep.
because that is the day that I turn 35. So
Oh, there you go.
yeah.
That and it should be another great weather match. The weekend weather is looking quite nice. High 50s, low 60s for Saturday, I think I saw last time I checked. And yeah, so that should be awesome.
It's been going up and down. I saw as high as 73
Holy cow.
damn. Yeah.
Well, yeah, so Connor, yeah, I'll be in Turtle Lake, Wisconsin that for that match. Hopefully I'll be able to watch it in the sports book there. But yeah, awesome that you get to go to this particular game and have fun celebrating and everything and have a good time. Yeah, I can't wait to see the lineup. I will be interested to see. Obviously, who knows if Reynoso's back, then that can be a big curveball for everybody. But let's just if Reynoso isn't back, I'd be curious to see if maybe he makes a move. Like I could see, Bongi Longway, his, obviously fitness had been an issue for him. He was dealing with what green card issues early in the year and didn't get back until after the first couple of matches. But you have to assume that's getting back up to more normal, at least where he could start a match and play 60 if he had to. So I think that's an option. I wouldn't be shocked to see that kind of a change made, or even leaving Sangbin out there and putting Bongi, on the
On the
wing
left
as well.
with
I'm saying,
in place of Clark.
yeah,
We'll
in
see.
place of Clark. I could see either way. I wouldn't be shocked. I guess if I was, who knows if, and that's the lineup, my preferred lineup, maybe not my predicted lineup, to see maybe Sangbin and Hung Longwei on either right left. I in my opinion, and we saw it actually in the Philadelphia Union match, they started, I think it was a like for like, Bongi coming in playing on the left for Clark, who we replaced. But I
Right.
think later in the game, we actually saw Bongi over on the right. And I know we know he can play on the right, and I was pretty sure he could play on the left. So that would be my preferred. Hard to say it's my predicted lineup for next week. We'll see.
I think that's a pretty darn good guess because, being the first loss of the season this past winter, I think Eric Ramsey's going to want to change a few things up so that he can be sure to get a win this week. So, you know,
You want to
that
see your
to me, I thought that's you know, Caelan Clark, he didn't have a bad game by any means, I don't think. And in fact, I think he played pretty well in the first half. But
at least
in
the
the
first
second,
half.
in the second half, I saw him starting to get a little bit too flashy, trying a few too many touches, and you know, I think that is part of the reason why he got subbed out when he did. And I personally liked it when he got subbed out because, you know, he just was getting he was keeping the ball too long in the attack. And I don't think that's good. You got to play it quickly, and you got to play it across the box or something like that, you know.
And credit to you, Connor. You did make that call. You made that call before, what, probably 10 minutes before it happened,
I
and you
think
said
less than
that's
that,
what
yeah, like 5 minutes
that,
before that,
you said
yeah.
that's what you want to see, and that's exactly, that was the first substitution of the match yesterday. So good call on that.
So not only will you be there, Connor, our friend Johnny will be there, even though
Oh,
in text
he's
messages,
threatening to be off the
threatening
bandwagon and
to
sell his
be off
tickets. So.
bandwagoning the team because they lost a game. So that's Johnny for you. He
Oh,
does this.
yeah.
He'd been drinking
Tell him
too.
to
You know,
come join me in the Wonderwall.
he could.
Yeah. He might be in the Wonder
I'm,
Auction.
he's going to be the Wonderwall. Yeah. Him and his, him and Caden are going, I think. Is it
Yeah.
Caden? Yeah. So his
I would
son,
assume,
Caden,
yeah.
are going. So, yeah, I'm going to, my daughter has a 3 o'clock soccer game on Saturday. Hopefully it's somewhere close down in the metro area. I can make it to the game Saturday night, but we'll see how that works out. Connor, you got some soccer history for us?
So I was looking at my calendar this week, and it looks like this week was a pretty bleak week in the history of Minnesota soccer.
Well.
I think in the past, so today is March 31st, and so we go back to within the past week, we'll go back to March 25th because the 24th was the last day that we did the show. In the last week, and keep in mind that I haven't completely updated my calendar yet. It looks like Minnesota only have 2 wins
Oh.
in all of their history in the last week.
Oh.
One was a striker's win, or no, both were a striker's win, excuse me. We got a striker's win against the San Diego Sockers
Oh, the
on March
Sockers.
26th in 1986. It was a 3-1 win, which is
Nice.
a pretty low scoring game, actually, for an indoor soccer game.
Pino Letteri in net, I bet.
Probably he was a hell of a goalkeeper. You got, and yeah, that was, oh no, excuse me, that was the 3-1 was the Baltimore Blast. Excuse me, that was
Oh,
March 29th in 1986. The March 26th game was the San Diego Sockers, and the Strikers won that one 9-5.
nice.
1985, March 26,
Jesus.
1985.
Nine to five. My
9-5. Yep.
Good Lord. Oh, the
Couple
goals come
interesting.
out of indoor soccer.
Yeah, they it's like a hockey game on crack.
Much. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got a couple of signings that have happened. Mark Burch and Sam Cronin from the
Oh, same
Colorado
Cronin.
Rapids back in
Sure.
2017. I liked Cronin when he played for us. I liked him when he was with United. And also, it was in 2016, the year before United entered MLS, they signed Jeb Brovsky from NYCFC.
Okay.
Don't know who that is.
Never
Moving on.
heard
Then you've
of
got another. Oh, okay. And then, of course, this is the 6 year anniversary of in March 31st, 2018. It was probably the most frustrating game I've ever been to for United. United lost to 1-0 against Atlanta United that day. And
Oof.
I remember Atlanta United got the goal in like the 3rd minute. I don't remember who scored, but they got the goal in like the 3rd minute. And it wasn't very snowy up, but it was freezing cold. The seats were icing over, and not a lot of snow on the ground, but it was freezing. But we stayed for the entire game, and then about the 35th-ish minute, Atlanta had Leandro Gonzalez Pires got red carded, got
Ooh.
sent off. And it was so Minnesota played the rest of the game one man up, and they played it mostly on the front foot too. But that may have been the game that started the trend where Minnesota could always build up their play, but not score. It was like so many opportunities that game. I think that's the only game where I actually punched the seat in front of me that I was so frustrated. But not the
You ch
person in the
you
seat. Not the person in the seat, but just the
you
seat.
well, thank God,
Yeah.
that guy. You chose violence there,
I
Connor.
did.
Jiminy Christmas.
I did, which is something you don't see
My
from
God.
me
Yeah.
ever. But
Not a violent type, but Jesus.
the seat in front of me was empty, so
Well.
I did think it through, but I still punched the hell out of it, and I think I had a bruise on the side of my hand for the next few days or so.
I think Atlanta brings it out of us, to tell you the truth. I think playing Atlanta makes us violent soccer fans because we just hate Atlanta. You know,
Yep.
it's the way it works.
Well, we'll get to see it again this year too. I know we play
They
Atlanta, I think,
will.
in May
Yeah.
this year.
Yes, we do. Well, thanks, Connor, for that soccer history. Before we get out of here, one funny story, guys, out of Tennessee. That's a crazy story out of Tennessee because you don't see this very often. And this is in Northeast Tennessee. This isn't even like Southern Tennessee. This is Northeast Tennessee. A fisherman at a lake in Northeast Tennessee caught a surprise at the end of his line when he pulled up a 3 to 4 foot long alligator.
Ooh.
Now, they got a call from the guy describing the unusual catch at Norris Lake. The angler had pinned down the alligator to the ground behind its head. And he told you caught on swim bait. Alligators are not native to that part of Tennessee and are considered class one wildlife species, which are those that are inherently dangerous to humans and may only be possessed by permitted exhibitors or commercial propagators. They said the origin of the alligator is unclear. It's evident it was being held illegally and possibly released into the lake. So somebody had this alligator for a while illegally. And decided, hey, I'm done with it. I'm just gonna put it in this lake. It'll be fine. This guy caught it. So looking for a permanent home for this alligator. But I'm telling you, guys, if you were fishing in a lake in Minnesota and you caught a gator, would you pull it up or you just run away? Because I just run away.
I
I
mean,
wouldn't
I
even
wouldn't know.
I wouldn't attempt it.
I guess I wouldn't know what it was until I pulled it up. But then
Well,
when I pulled it
yeah.
up, I think I would let my fishing rod into the lake. I think I would just
Yeah.
let it sink in there.
I just be like, bye. See you later. Bye-bye. I'm out.
Yep.
I'm out.
I'd rather spend the extra so many dollars to buy a new fishing pole than not be able to fish ever again in my life.
That's
So,
right.
yeah.
That's right. So, Dave, you ever caught a gator in a lake in Minnesota?
I have not, no. And I'm glad I haven't, because I don't think it would end well for me either, so.
No. They'd be like, hey, little guy, come on up. You know, no, you won't do it. That's the thing. It's like, I read these stories about things like this happening, especially this animal story about catching an animal that's not native to your land. And I don't know, I don't think I deal with it very well. You know, I just, what do? You know, keep the
Three to
gators
four
down in
foot,
Florida.
that's a small one too, a 3 to 4 footer.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
I mean, keep the gators in Florida.
Oh yeah.
Keep them
They
down.
belong
Keep
in
them down
Florida.
south. Don't
Yeah.
get up here. You know,
Yeah, we got other things to worry about. We don't need to worry
yeah,
about
yeah,
gators.
yeah.
we
Florida
don't
and
need that
Florida needs
shit.
population control too, so just go ahead
It's
and
true. It's true.
put them down there.
It's true. Yeah. So yeah. So be careful when you're out there fishing. When the fishing opener happens here in a couple weeks, watch out for gators. Because you never know.
They're living beneath the ice down here.
Potentially. Who knows? Before we get out here, guys, anything else you guys want to talk about? Nothing big?
Nah,
We're all good?
looking forward to being at the game next weekend in the Wonderwall. It's going to be a
Yeah.
lot of fun.
Yeah. Should be a good time there. Nighttime game. Good times. Hopefully, you get to sing Wonderwall at the end with Eric Ramsey out there clapping.
Yeah,
You know, nice to have that.
and against a good team too, a good team that we could end end up keeping the game in hand on it. So.
That's right. All right, so for myself, Tony, for Dave and Connor, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Go Loon.
Go Loon. At the